It's a good reminder this morning of who our King is. I just thought you needed that before we got started in our brand new series. And I'm so excited about this series. I've been looking forward to it. The prayer of Jesus. Lord, teach us how to pray. Don't teach us how to jump through hoops, raise the dead, talk in tongues, get rich. The disciples said, Lord, teach us how to pray. And the perfect number, seven parts to that prayer, the perfect number, the number of completion in the Bible, he gives seven parts, and so we're going to take 7 weeks, and we're going to look at that. We're going to look at that number of completion, that everything you need to know about prayer, Jesus wrapped it up and said, if you'll do this, if you'll understand what this prayer is, this is everything you need. You don't need a lot of words. You don't have to impress God. You just need this. So I love our church when I come up with ideas in this sense. I say, I need something built. And everybody runs the other way. Except Jim. I say, Jim, I need 5 minutes. And Jim says, will that be a day or 2 days? I said, just give me 5 minutes. He said, what do you need this time? I said, I want a phone booth. And so he built a phone booth out of wood. This is incredible. And he brought it over to the church, except it fell out of his truck and exploded on the road. So he took it home and he built it again. And we're looking for one of those if you have like one of those metal payphones we can hook up there for the next 6 weeks, that would be great. It was funny because I was talking to this gal who makes props, and she says, I don't have time this weekend, but I was just talking to my daughter about this. About what? She said, a rotary dial phone. And my daughter said, how does it work? Really? She said, I explained to my daughter, you put your finger on the number and you spin it all the way till it stops and let it go and it clicks all the way back around. Why would you do that? You know, and then you dial a second number and it comes all the way back. So she's explaining this to her daughter. And then she said, if you mess up, you have to hang up and you have to start all over again. Some of you remember what we're talking about. So today we're talking about wireless. Can you hear me? Prayer, the power of prayer. So I said, build me a phone booth. And I want to tell you why I wanted a phone booth. Because I'm a kind of superhero guy. Next to Jesus Christ, my favorite superhero by any stretch of the imagination has got to be Superman. Right? I mean, Superman. He is incredible. Faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive. Able to. Some of you remember. Look up in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane. It's Superman. You remember that. Some of you remember that. Some of you have no idea that there was actually something like that. You see the new Superman. You know what's amazing to me about Superman? My daughter said, Dad, you know what's coming up? They're making a movie, a superhero movie, Superman versus Batman. And she said, who do you think's going to win? I said, well, that's ridiculous. Everybody knows who's going to win. The New England Patriots. Oh, wait a minute. A little sidebar. Superman wins. He's the man of steel. Nothing can stop him. So here's why I wanted a phone booth. But before I get to the phone booth, well, let's go to the phone booth. Superman. Superman wasn't Superman until he went into his phone booth, which made no sense to me. You're Superman, and you're running. I mean, he's Clark Kent, right? Clark Kent, bumbling, fumbling, ordinary Clark Kent, who works in the Daily Planet, which makes no sense to me. You're Superman. Nothing can stop you. You're a hero. Why would you ever want to live in the Daily Planet when you can be Superman every day? Why are we living in the Daily Planet when God has made us superheroes? Because Jesus Christ dwells within us, church. The Holy Spirit, the Allos Parakletos, the third person of the Trinity, dwells within us and gives you supernatural life. Why are we spending our time living as Clark Kent? That's a whole different sermon. That just doesn't make any sense to me. So there he is, Clark Kent. And he's got to run into the phone booth, right? He's got to run into the phone booth, which doesn't make sense to me because not a lot of privacy. And he jumps in, and then he comes out in leotards. What doesn't make any sense to me is the phone booth. But today it's going to make sense because I'm going to explain it this way. I don't know what he was doing going into a phone booth. He could have went to JCPenney's, into the men's section. He could have gone into a changing room. But he goes into a phone booth. He goes into a place where you get connected with somebody. We need to go into a place to get connected with somebody. He goes in as Clark Kent, and he comes out as Superman. You see, the phone booth is his change. Jesus said in Matthew 6:6, he says, when you pray, go into the secret place. Go into the phone booth, into the secret place where everything's unseen. And then your Father in heaven will see you, and he will reward you what you've done. We go in to be changed in our prayer closet, and we come out with a stamp with the S on our chest. Is this making sense? Jesus knew, in order for you not to live in your daily planet as ordinary, we need to spend time with God the Father in a place that changes us and puts Savior on our chest. I hope this makes sense. This is really good. Because Jesus Christ wants to change us. Because in our world, we have this awesome, and so today's kind of this beginning of this thing of how do I talk to God? And Jesus said, it's real simple. When you go in there, I'm going to show you the number of completion. I'm going to give you our Father. Wow. Who am I talking to? When I went in there, I just got connected with the God of the universe, the great I am, who's in heaven. Whew, he's out of this world. Hallowed be your name. At the name of God, demons flee, sickness is destroyed. Sin is conquered. The grave no longer has a sting. Our Father who's in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth just like it's done in heaven. Okay, let me get in there and let me start living some kingdom stuff right here. What is it like in heaven? God wants me to live that way here. Think about that. Forgive us our debts, or give us our bread, our daily bread, manna. I go in there and God's going to give me every day manna. It's not good for yesterday because manna's no good from yesterday. I got to get some new stuff today. Because everybody knows if you don't go into that place and you get into the daily planet, the super stuff wears out, doesn't it? Welcome back to church. Some of you came in here today to get recharged. Can I tell you something? My job is not to recharge you. That's your job. That's your daily calling from Jesus Christ. It's for you to enter into your prayer closet, into your phone booth. Our job here is to gather together, to be trained and equipped to go out then and to save the lost. That's what we're to do. We're supposed to be heroes. That's what the word godliness means. In the Greek, it's translated heroic activity. And add to your faith goodness, and to goodness godliness, and to godliness self-control. It says add to your faith heroic activity. Hello, folks. Who wants to go into the phone booth and be a hero today? Anybody in the church? Anybody in the church? Come on, let me hear you, church. Anybody in the church? We've got to change it. So he walks through these perfect seven. This will change our lives. And so I'm excited for you to come back over the next 6 weeks. And those of you that are jumping into life groups or you haven't yet, trust me, you could jump in. I'll bet, Mike, there's some room in there. And in the other groups, I'll bet there's some room in the other groups, our college groups. And you say, I want to start a group. And you're going to be able to take and dissect this stuff a lot better and talk with other folks. And say, you know what? I want to learn how to wear a cape, okay? I'm tired of wearing just an ordinary shirt. I want to wear what God has called me to wear, the full armor of God. Put it on. Be that person. And we know that you'll get worn out in the daily planet, so you got to get in there every day. Jesus got in there every day. Moses spent time every day. I try to get in there every day. If you don't get in there, trust me. If you don't get into it, the world will get into you. I see a lot of people going, that's right. That was worth the $5 in that offering, wasn't it? Folks, how do we do that? Let's take a look. Let's just take a minute today, and let's look at Our Father and how that breaks down. Because there's three questions I want to know today. Number one, who are we talking to? And that's attention. How do you get, and I'll use a good alliteration for those who like to take notes, it's attention. Who am I talking to? How do I get his attention? We're talking about the king of this universe, right? How do you get the king of the universe's attention? I've been doing some research on how people try to get their gods in different cultures. And it's funny, as I wrote these notes yesterday, I was watching a program, not wrote these notes yesterday, okay, wrote the sermon. Yesterday, I'm watching the public television. And on public television, they were in Thailand. And in Thailand, it's very Buddhist, and they get their God's attention. The monks have this gigantic symbol, this gong. And before you go into the temple, you hit the gong. And by hitting that gong and through the vibrations and the noise, you're saying, whatever gods are available, we would like to have you come and sit. We'd like to have your attention. Well, they have so many gods in Buddhism that at some point, I mean, you don't want to offend any god, so you're constantly trying to make sure everybody's happy. They actually have gods for buildings. When you build a construction site, you have to put a house on top of that. So they have these god houses, these little temples for the gods while you're kind of creating and doing construction and all the mess, that the gods won't be offended that you have a house. So if you drive around, you'll see houses on houses, houses on buildings. And then when those buildings are destroyed, they take those god houses and they put them in a god house graveyard. And in this god house graveyard, they have to keep those gods happy. And so a couple times a year, they light firecrackers just to wake them up and to make sure that they're happy and to get their attention. When they drive by in cars past these graveyard god houses, they'll honk their horn to make sure that, hey, I'm noticing you. So they're trying to get their god's attention. In other cultures, they make smokestacks. You might see this in some Native American cultures where they have smoke signals. And they'll do that, fires, through fire, through incense, through burning, through horns, through all kinds of things. In fact, in the days of Elijah, there was a god called Baal. Very popular. You read through all of Kings, and you just see this god keeps showing up through the pagans. And they keep building these poles, like totem poles, to him. And you know how they got Baal's attention? I mean, there were all kinds of ways. They would throw, for Molech, which was very similar to Baal, they would throw babies, live babies, into a fire in the backside of these giant totems. And they would say, well, these babies now screaming in agony will get their god's attention. For Baal, they would cut themselves. They would bleed. On Mount Carmel, Elijah's up there with a challenge, him against 400 prophets of Baal, and they're trying to get their god's attention. These guys are screaming, they're dancing, they're shouting, they're cutting themselves. Cutting is nothing new. Cutting is a new phenomenon to our culture, but cutting is very ancient. Cutting was an idea of getting attention. And we have young women and men today that cut for whatever reason. Certainly there's demonic influence that caused them to do it, whether they want to or not. But in the Old Testament, they were cutting for these gods or these demons to come and have attention. Maybe you've heard this one. Oh, I hope it doesn't snow. I hope the Patriots win today, or I hope Seattle wins today. They never lose. Knock on wood. Do you know, knocking on wood, it was two gods that they believed in many pantheist type of religions and other kind of Eastern mystic religions, and even in shamanism, that gods lived in trees. And to make those gods happy, they'd walk by and they'd knock on the trees. And that would bring them good luck. The gods are happy with me. I didn't forsake them. I knocked on the tree. They're happy with me and they'll bring me favor. So next time you're trying to please the god of luck, which is actually a god, it's a Viking god, just remember that's not your god next time you knock on wood. How do you get your god's attention? Well, how do I get the god, the only god of the universe, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, this awesome, huge god? How do I get his attention? Here's how I get his attention. Our Father. I just got his attention. Or you might say it this way, hey, Dad, our Father. You might say, our glorious and holy, great, redeeming God of the universe. You might pray the Shema that the Jews, Barukatai Adonai Elohim, blessed be the Lord our God is one. How do you get God's attention? The Pharisees thought, well, if I say enough words, God will listen to me. It's kind of like your kids. If I talk enough, mom and dad will listen to me. You know what? All you need to do is approach God. You don't even need to be a Christian to approach God. Did you know that? God listens to the sincere heart of those who call him God. That's how we get him. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. That's how we get God's attention. Let me just share this with you. As I was reading, this is what I found. Everybody tries all these different things. If you trust any God but the Lord, you can pray all day long. You can dance and shout. You can bleed, but God will not answer your request. You're crying out to the wrong God. But if you pray to the true God, Isaiah 1:15 says this, when you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Even if you offer many prayers, I will not listen. It's saying, look, if you approach me and you think that you've got to impress me and you've got to jump and shout and dance and scream, but if you come to me in sin, in other words, I approach God in the wrong manner, like I'm just, and I have people all the time, God, get me out of this. God, get me out of this. God, if you'll just do this, I swear I'll go to church. I swear I'll quit smoking. I swear I'll quit swearing. You meet people like that. Maybe you've been there. I remember bargaining with God when I was younger. I didn't know this God, but I remember one day coming to the God of the universe and simply saying, Dear Father. And boom, just like that, I was in his presence. And that's how we approach him. We don't have to worry about getting his attention by all of these things. It says in Hebrews chapter 4, it says, let us approach the throne of grace with what? Confidence. I meet Christians all the time. They don't know that God's going to listen to them. Do you know the average Christian spends 7 minutes a week in prayer? No wonder why they're weak in prayer. You can't spend 7 minutes a week in prayer and expect to be changed. You've got to get into that Superman booth. You've got to get into that prayer closet, and you've got to allow God to begin to change you. But the confidence, so we may receive mercy and find grace and help us in our time of need. We need to find that confidence in God. And here's what I learned. Not only can we get God's attention because of the grace and the blood of Jesus Christ. Do you know what Jesus did for you on a cross? He didn't just die for your sins. He gave you access to the God of this universe. Watch this. Heavenly Father, I just call on your name right now. I have gathered in your name. Can I get two more people to join me in that? Are there two people that have gathered today in his name? Sincerely? I see hands everywhere. Of course we have. Whew. I don't know if you know it. We need to get past this idea of I need a feeling in church. My son just wrote a great blog, if you haven't read it. He said, we've gotten into this pietism in his ecclesiology class. They said, the church is so full of people who are waiting for the next good feeling in their heart, the next great song to be sung, the next goosebumps, that they're jumping from church to church until they find the feeling, because that must be where God is. And God never promised you a feeling. He didn't ask you to say, God, follow me. He asked you to follow him. And he says, regardless of how you feel, would you leave your nets, pack up your bags, carry your cross, and follow me? Regardless of how it feels, I will serve and I will walk with you, Christ. And I got to tell you, I'm kind of impressed this morning. And I'm not easily impressed. I'm impressed by this. When the news says there's a storm warning, and I'm sure it's going to get bad later from what they say, I said, well, it'll be us four and no more. God, we'll have the worship team, pastor, you had to be here. I texted you. And I said, if it's just us, it'll be just us. I couldn't believe it. I thought, well, everybody came to first service. We had a huge first service. I said, everybody's trying to get in before that. You guys came to church. Whether you felt like it or not, you got on the road. Those of you that have kids, God bless you. I spent 10 years without a clean tie. I know what it takes. Those of you that slid, but here it is. I've learned to get God's attention. I simply need to gather in His name. We right now are in the presence of the Almighty God. He is here in His presence. Amen. Amen. Whether you want to have that understanding or not, when Jesus died on the cross a few miles away, the temple curtain was ripped in two. We have access to the throne of God. And we have access because of Jesus Christ, because of the next A. The first question is attention. How do I talk to Him? The second question is, the second one comes into this, adoption. Who gets to go? And I want you to know, I have been adopted by God. I was not born a Christian. My parents were not born Christians. We were pagans. That just simply means somebody who doesn't care about God. Okay? I could care less in my life growing up. I had no idea who God was and could care less. And when the joy bus from the church I shared Wednesday with the youth came by, I was the guy making fun of them on the bus, thinking, what a bunch of freaks. What a bunch of weirdos. Going down the street, I got the joy, 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 joy down in our hearts. Where? They're going down the street as a 9, 10-year-old. I remember thinking, what a bunch of losers. What a bunch of freaks. We used to throw eggs at the bus, me and my neighbor across the street, who we adopted is now my brother. And now we are the Jesus freaks going, I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. And people could throw eggs at me. I have become the bus guy. Because I met this, I've been adopted. John 1:12 says, you are adopted. To all who received Him, to those who believed on His name, He gave the, oh, you got to help me, church. He gave the, you have the right to become children of God. You have the right to go in the phone booth. I have the right. I have the access. I have the key. I'm welcomed into the phone booth of God, into the Holy of Holies, because I've been adopted. And you need to know something about adoption. If you're not adopted, I meet adopted kids all the time. I had a girl, Katie, in my youth group in Iowa. I had a ton of kids that were adopted. I couldn't believe the adoption in our church. I mean, kids were getting rescued and adopted. She was already, 16 years in. And I said, Katie, I did not know you were adopted. You look exactly like your mom, right? You remember Katie Volgarino, just a beautiful gal, married now with her own kids. And I just remember, I said, Katie, you look like your mom. Because the more time you spend with someone, the more you start looking like them. Another sermon. Let's not go there. And she said, I get picked on at school sometimes. I said, really? And she came up with a saying for all the adopted kids in our youth group. Kids would come and go, your parents didn't even want you. They abandoned you. Your parents gave you up because they didn't love you. I mean, kids can be cruel. I said, what do you say? She says, I look at them and say, you know what? Yeah, my parents gave me up. I am adopted. You're right, I'm adopted. Your parents had you. They didn't have a choice. My parents chose me. And I went, that's kind of bullying. I think it's a neat statement. It sure silenced the crowd. Think about that. Your parents, they had you. That's it. But my God, He chose me. He didn't have to. See, Jesus didn't have to die on a cross for me. Jesus did not have to choose me, but He chose me. I wasn't born into the family. He came to this earth, and He adopted me. And I get all the covenant. I get all the privileges. I am now a royal priesthood. I am now a holy nation. I am a people belonging to God. Whew. Why can I say our Father? Because He's my dad. Let me show you something in Romans. This is beautiful. In Romans chapter 8, verse 15, Paul writes this. You didn't receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear. Can I talk to you, God? I'm so afraid. No. But you received a spirit of sonship, and by Him we cry, Abba, Father. Isn't that great? It's translated in the Greek, Daddy, Daddy. I've shared over the years, and I know some of you have really adopted this, that the Bible says 365 times, do not be afraid, which I think is great. One for every day. Can I show you about your adoption? The New Testament says 275 times to call him Abba Father. 275 times you're to call him Dad. Well, I don't know about you walking in. Sometimes I have that fear of walking in. You ever have that fear with your parents? Right? And but I tell you, your kids, they can walk right on in, right? If they're adopted, if they're chosen, if they're yours, if they're born into the family by whatever, your kids have the right to run in and interrupt, right? You know your kids can run in and interrupt you. They do, don't they? Even no matter what they do, they're yours. And the beauty of that is they're not going anywhere. They're adopted. You love them. Those of you that have adopted kids, what about my chosen kids? Oh, you're stuck with them. The ones I had, they're just as loved. Our Heavenly Father has adopted us, and He's not going to let go of us. We need to get rid of this fear. Now, if you were just born in, He said, I'm getting rid of you. I'm putting you up for adoption. I'm getting rid of you. No, God chose you. Can I tell you something? Get a little seal in the deal. Get a little confidence when you approach God. He chose you in all of your garbage. And as children, we bring some garbage to our Heavenly Father, don't we? We just adopted a dog. She's 7 months old. We're not getting rid of her. Came home yesterday and she chewed up my wife's carpeting in the kitchen. My wife said, "What's going on?" When she came home from work, I said, "I don't know." I went down there and she had it all chewed up. I said, "What are you doing?" She ran. She had her tail between her legs. I was like, "No," because 2 days ago she chewed up my wife's dress shoes. Leave mom's stuff alone. Don't you know if mom ain't happy, you can go to the pound, or I'm going to the pound. What are you doing? She's chewing up everything. A week ago, she chewed up my leather recliner. And like, what are you doing? And I go down there, and she knows. I'm like, no. And her tail, she's only 7 months old. She's just a baby. And her tail's between her legs. Her ears are down. She's running around. She's looking for a place to hide. But you know what? All she does is come up to me and go, with her big brown eyes and that little chocolate lab. And she just kind of gets up there and licks. And then she jumps up and kind of cuddles. And all is forgiven. Some is forgiven. You know what? She has the confidence. She has no idea. She has no idea the power I wield. She can't communicate. It's unconditional love. We're going to love her and hold on to her. And you know what? We're going to fix those deals. We're going to discipline and we're going to train her. And I want you to know something. Your Heavenly Father is the same way. I have been adopted. He did not adopt me to throw me back into orphan life. He did not adopt me to throw me away. And some days, I'll tell you what, I've torn up the carpet. And Jesus takes me in. And some days he says, "Hey, what are you thinking?" I mean, God has a 2x4 for me, trust me. And it's in the shape of the back of my head, okay? It has a little dent in it, all right? I don't know if you've ever had a holy discipline in your life. But my Father's trying to train me because He loves me. And He wants me to obey Him. But listen, He's not throwing me out because I chewed up the carpet. We have to have confidence. Our Dad. Adoption. Let me close it this way. We're just getting started, but I just want you to have this confidence. I remember hearing about this emperor in Rome after a great battle. He was coming back, and this is common, and he was coming back into Rome there after a huge victory. And the emperor and all of his warriors are coming down in their chariots, and they're making their way into town. Now, in Roman tradition, a battle and victory is larger than a Super Bowl win. Everybody comes out on the streets. All of the other soldiers are just lined up for blocks, and the people are crowded, and they're throwing flowers out. There's chants. The emperor comes down the street, and his son was trying to get through to go see his father returning from battle. As a little boy made his way through the crowd, he jumped between two soldiers that were all lined up. As he made his way out to try to get to his father's chariot there, one of the soldiers grabbed and said, "Hey, little man, you can't go out there. That's the emperor." And it's recorded, the little boy looked to the soldier and said, "He may be your emperor, but he's my father." I will go to him. My Father in heaven, to you he may be God Almighty, or this giant I, or this huge judge, but to me, he's my dad. And he says, when I say, our Father, Dad, I want you to know what happens in heaven. The Bible says that he turns an attentive ear. So he's sitting on his throne, and I can picture this when I go, Dad, it's snowing today. I would sure love to worship you in the house of God, with the people of God, with the worship of God. I would sure love to be inspired by the Spirit of God. I don't want to miss the Sabbath day. Would you hold that snow back for a couple hours? And I woke up this morning just wanting to. And when I started talking to my Heavenly Father, the Bible says he turns an attentive ear, because there's an adoption, there's an attention, and then there's the Almighty. And he does this. Shh! Gabriel. Gabriel, stop. And the angel Gabriel, the archangel Gabriel, who's taking messages, he's got to get a message over to this pastor and that pastor and all the prophets of God to make sure the message is clear. Michael is doing some battle. Michael, quiet, quiet. And he's getting ready to go do battle with Satan again. And listen. Oh, that's my son down there. He's talking to me, and I get to interrupt heaven's throne room, the war room, the praise and worship, the practice of the angels around the crystal sea, the great cherubim and seraphim that have hundreds of eyes on the six wings that sing around the crystal sea. Shh, quiet people. She's talking to me again. Listen, come on in. Climb up on Dad's lap. And do you know that he's so great that there's room for all of you at the same time? He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. He's omnipotent. He's sovereign. There's nothing above my dad. My dad is awesome. He's immutable. He never changes. And he's eternal. He has no beginning and no ending. But my comprehension of my dad is in direct proportion to my comprehension to my dad. I had to get in the phone booth in my life to change that. My dad is awesome. Growing up, my dad is awesome. I don't know that my dad really had a choice. He had a choice, but he didn't have a choice. When he was 17, he got my mom pregnant. She was 15, a couple of farm kids in South Dakota. When you're 17 and 15, my grandfather had one solution, a swift kick with a boot. You can go live your own life. You're man enough to have a child. And my sister was born, and my dad moved. And he went to Vietnam, and my mom ate crackers and mayonnaise in San Francisco as a new mom of 16. Got pregnant with me, and at 17, two kids, husband in Vietnam. And then I grew up. My father came back, and he was awesome. My dad, understanding my dad. Don't know much about the Lord, but I know my father. And my father provided meals when he got back and joined the police department. Rode motorcycles. A Harley. It was awesome. We got great pictures. I remember riding as a little boy on that Harley police motorcycle. Then he was promoted to detective, sergeant, homicide, narcotic. Carried a gun, had a little briefcases, always went undercover. Huge cases, little Uzis and gone a lot. And just, I mean, unbelievable stuff. Had a black belt in karate, had a badge, and we could go anywhere, anytime for free. Candlestick Park, Oakland Stadium. Watching ball games, my dad was awesome. When I came to Christ, I really had to get to know my dad. Because see, when I grew up, my father was tough. Trust me, Vietnam, police department, detective, Hell's Angels putting contracts out to kill my family, blowing up one of my dad's guys that worked for him, contracts out on our lives. I mean, it was wild. So my dad had to be tough, because the moment he was weak, it could cost him his family. So this is how I grew up. I grew up with a dad that learned how to beat toughness into me. Probably not the best way to do it, but like an unconditional love puppy, I ran back into his arms. problem. My father's arms never hugged, never told me he loved me, because that's weak. That's not what men do. That's what women do. You don't show emotions. You never cry. So understanding my Heavenly Father was really tough, because all I saw was this huge, tough God. And then I started getting in the phone booth, and I started spending time with him, and boy, did I fall in love. I fell in love. My dad, my mom fell in love. My sister, my brother, 30, 40 people in my family fell in love. We got in the phone booth, and God began changing the S on our chest. And we started going in normal. We started coming out heroic. And it changed my paradigm. Talked to my dad just 2 nights ago. He said, "How you doing, Dad?" We were just chatting, talking about my son in Guantanamo Bay, talking about the marriage coming up. We just talked about the church. We talked about the weather. And when I got done, I said, "Dad, I just wanted to give you a call. I hadn't talked to you for a few days. I love you." My dad kind of hemmed and hawed, you know, a little bit. And then he goes, "Hey, I love you too." You see, when you go in the phone booth, you don't come back the same. I can't wait to see what God's going to do through prayer in your life. When you understand, it will change everything. This is week one. This is our Father. Let's stand and pray.